Unemployment in Wisconsin has dipped below 6% for the first time since November 2008, which was the beginning of the financial crisis.
Now, that's down from a height of 9.2% in 2010. Now, Wisconsin gained 6,400 private sector jobs in March, but are these jobs in the same caliber of jobs lost half a decade ago? And are people still giving up on finding unemployment and dropping out of the workforce?
Here with us to help make sense of the numbers is Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College, Brian Jacobson. Brian, thanks for being here.
No, well, thank you so much for having me.
So where does 5.9% unemployment stand in the range of what's healthy for an economy?
Well, you know, believe it or not, it's still slightly high relative to where we would like it to be in the long run. Now, Wisconsin historically has had an unemployment rate that has been less than the national average. And so having Wisconsin at 5.9% right now and the nation at 6.7%, that's a pretty big gap. But what we would like to see over the long term is probably something closer to around 5.5%. So there's still some room for improvement here.
This probably has a complex answer. It's going to seem like a very elementary question, though. Why has unemployment fallen to 5.9%? What factors are at play here?
That is not a bad question at all. It's actually a great question because there are a couple things that can happen to drive down the unemployment rate. One is obviously fewer unemployed people. So that's a good reason for the unemployment rate to fall. Now, in order to understand that there can be a bad reason for the unemployment rate to fall, you have to understand exactly how it's calculated. It's based on the percentage of the labor force that is unemployed. So the labor force is not the entire population. It's basically those people who are employed, or if you're unemployed, that you are looking for work or have been looking for work over the last 4 weeks. So you can have the labor force shrinking, which could then drive down the unemployment rate. So it can give a false message, and that, in fact, is one of the reasons why sort of early on in the economic recovery, we saw the unemployment rate actually improve is whenever the labor force would shrink. But that was a bad reason. In general, for the state of Wisconsin, if you were to look at a chart going all the way back to, 2010, the trend for employment has been improving, but the labor force hasn't really moved all that much. We actually had somewhat of a shrinkage of the labor force.
Well, that actually brings up a point. According to reports, out at the end of March, Wisconsin lost the second most jobs of any state in the country in February. That was at about 9,500 jobs. So it does seem contradictory to the relatively good news that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So when people are unemployed, they might just give up looking, which means that they would probably drop out of the labor force, and then they're just not included in the statistics. So that's one of the reasons why the chair of the Federal Reserve Board has encouraged people to stop focusing so much on the unemployment rate as a measure of health of the labor market and look at a wider spectrum of measures, things like the duration of unemployed, the number of people who are long-term unemployed. And in the government statistics, long-term means 27 weeks or longer. And for the nation as a whole, numbers aren't really improving all that much. Now, unfortunately, those numbers aren't really all that readily available on a state-level basis, so I can't really speak to what's going on in Wisconsin for some of those other measures. But for the nation as a whole, there's still a lot of healing that needs to take place.
Mm-hmm. How long will it take to achieve that?
According to my forecasts, I think that we could be, according to recent trends, probably it could take anywhere from 2 to 3 years, which is going to seem like an interminably long time for a lot of people, especially if they're the ones who are looking for work. But in order to sort of, I know that some politicians have come out and said that, you know, they are promising to heal the economy and make dramatic changes. Keep in mind, some of these dramatic changes that can be made, it won't necessarily immediately be reflected in the labor force statistics or in the economy, because the economy is such a big thing and politicians can only influence things so much.
And when you say that the economy might be healed in 2 or 3 years, what does that look like and what would the numbers show?
Well, I think that for the nation as a whole, we would be looking at having inflation running at around 2%. We would be looking at having the unemployment rate close to 5.5%, maybe a little bit lower than that. We'd probably also see things like weekly average earnings increasing. That's been one of the things that's really been sort of, I guess, weighing on me, is the idea that even though we are seeing more jobs being created, we haven't exactly seen average weekly earnings increasing. Or if they are increasing, it's barely keeping pace with inflation. The Bureau of Labor Statistics just released some numbers as far as for the nation as a whole, that the median worker out there only made about $796 per week in the last quarter. And that was up 3% from a year ago, but inflation was about up 1.5%. So really, when you sort of adjust for inflation, the real purchasing power of a person's income on average only went up about 1.5%. So when we actually get to a healthier state for the economy, I'd like to see that number increasing closer to about 3%.
Well, as job growth goes, what kind of industries are these jobs being created in, that the ones that we are seeing some increase in?
You know, we can take a look at as far as where we were about a year ago. And a lot of the jobs, believe it or not, despite all the problems with the losses in the construction industry, that's making a comeback. So construction, compared to a year ago, those jobs were about 7% higher as far as the number of people employed there. Construction jobs are typically better paying jobs, so that's nice to see. However, we also see an increase in the number of people, at least in the state of Wisconsin, that are employed in the leisure and hospitality area. That number is up about 1.5%. Now, for the nation as a whole, unfortunately, those are typically some of the lower paying jobs. On average, the people in those industries make about $357 to $358 per week. So that's actually less than half of what the average is for the private sector. Mm-hmm. So we've seen an improvement in construction, leisure, and hospitality, but we've also seen an improvement in the professional and business services. Now, that's kind of a mixed bag as far as the types of jobs, because some of them can be very good-paying, management-type positions. But within that category, you also get temporary help jobs. So that one is a little bit mixed as far as whether or not it's good or bad to see improvements there.
And how is manufacturing doing?
Manufacturing has been faring fairly well in Wisconsin as far as output. However, if you look at compared to a year ago, so if we go back to the most reliable numbers that we have, which is for the quarterly census on employment and wages, those come out with quite a lag. So going back to September, manufacturing employment actually shrank by about 0.2%. So, you know, it's kind of a rounding error. So there aren't a lot of jobs being created there on net, but we are seeing an improvement if you break up manufacturing into durable goods, which are making things that are expected to last about 3 years or longer, things like washers, dryers, cars, and non-durable, things that are not expected to last a while. We've seen a significant improvement in the durable goods manufacturing, and really Wisconsin is known as being a kind of manufacturing heavy economy, and so it's nice to see the durable goods manufacturing employment begin to make a comeback.
Well, and you mentioned the jobs in leisure and hospitality not only garnering lower wages, but it doesn't seem like a very stable industry. Many of those hospitality jobs here in Wisconsin, in fact, are seasonal. When you think about maybe the Dells area and other summer vacation spots.
Yes, and that is absolutely correct, that a lot of the leisure and hospitality jobs, those tend to be higher turnover, meaning that you do get that churn of the workforce, but it also tends to be a very good stepping stone to other types of occupations, or it's a good way to get at least some work experience. So you're absolutely right that those don't necessarily tend to be the types of jobs that people necessarily stick with, but that's also why they tend to be some of the lower paying ones. They're very much entry level, at least as far as what we typically see, the bulk of employees in that specific industry.
And what does it take to bring increased wages to employees? You mentioned that that's going to be an important factor here, especially for the people who are looking for jobs. Why aren't we seeing an increase of wages right now?
Yeah, you know, that is one of the puzzles out there as far as what could drive wages higher. And really, a big part of it is just a matter of having a overall stronger economy as far as with some of the, like with global trade, if we are able to see a dramatic increase in purchases of goods and services overseas that we can export to. So if you see more dramatic growth there, if we see consumer spending begin to pick up. In some of the most recent data that came out of the federal government as far as with retail sales for last month, we do see people kind of coming out of hibernation, so to speak, from the cold winter weather, at least as far as spending on the retail side. So that's a positive sign. But I think that in terms of in order to actually see wages begin to increase, part of it is to have just businesses continue to be profitable and be more begin to anticipate that demand that they're seeing is actually sustainable. I still think there's a lot of skepticism amongst a lot of business owners as to whether or not the growth that they're seeing is indeed going to be sustainable.
Yeah, and last a while and all that. So it makes it harder to decide perhaps how to allocate those funds. Do we know how statistics have shaped up in terms of how many Wisconsinites are still living in poverty alongside these job numbers?
Well, with these job numbers, I'm not sure if that actually was updated or not as to the number of people who are living in poverty. I mean, it is obviously a big concern as far as the percentage of people in poverty, the number of people who are receiving government assistance in the form of, say, food stamps. For the nation as a whole, the number of people on food stamps has begun to decline, which is certainly something to be encouraged about. One thing that I'd want to point out, though, as far as when you're looking at some of those numbers, it tends to be very geographically concentrated. So even if we're talking about, say, on average, you know, 14% of the 15% of the population is living in poverty, they tend to be clustered. And so this tends to be kind of more of a community issue as well, as far as you will tend to see poverty rates, say, in Milwaukee being much higher than poverty rates in Dane County. So some of the details are obscured by just looking at the averages.
Okay. And we'll dig into that a little bit after the break. We're speaking with Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Job numbers are out today in Wisconsin for the month of March, and for the first time since November 2008, unemployment is below 6%.
And we'd like to hear from you. How are things going economically from your perspective? Have you been unemployed in the past decade, or what was your experience in finding a new job? Are the jobs available as good as the jobs that were available before the financial crisis? And do you think this is a significant turnaround for Wisconsin, or are things moving slowly? Why don't you call in and join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're back with Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College. He's here with us talking about Wisconsin's labor economy. Unemployment in the state is below 6% for the first time since November 2008.
And we'd like to hear from you. Have you been unemployed for the last few years? What was the experience like of trying to find a new job? Are the jobs available as good as the jobs that were available before the financial crisis? What do you think? Is this a significant turnaround, these new numbers that we're hearing about? You can give us a call and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Brian Jacobson, let's just take a step back for just a moment, and could you explain for us what drives job growth generally?
Well, job growth is typically created by businesses that as they want to expand, they're going to have to hire somebody, right? And so if you think about as far as what's sort of the origin of a job, it really comes from an employer, somebody who is willing to hire somebody to take that risk in order to produce something, a good or a service for somebody else. So, you know, it really does require some entrepreneurship, or it requires an existing business that wants to expand. So they have to have some idea that there's something profitable for them out there. And that's one of the things that I think Wisconsin has tended to struggle with, is not necessarily with existing businesses about how to help them grow, but it's more about having those new businesses, creating these new opportunities, because we've tended to lag in terms of number of new businesses being created.
Let's take a call from Richie in La Crosse. Richie, what's your question?
My question is, how do you measure unemployment I know nationally there are 2.4 million people in prison, 7.4 million people monitored by the state, 12 million people that are ex-cons, 65 million people that can't pass the background check. From anybody else's measurement, that's 23% unemployment. How do you measure unemployment in the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, great question. And this does get into some of the weeds about some of this data, and maybe points to the limitations of the data, because typically the definition is that they have to be they can't be institutionalized. And so institutionalized means that if they're in prison, they're just not counted as being part of the labor force or being employed or unemployed. So a lot of those examples that you just gave there, though we would view them as not working, they would be actually institutionalized or outside of the labor force, and they would not be counted as unemployed.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned before the break that these statistics are highly geographic in their nature, and that sometimes the average amounts that we see are misleading. Let's dig into that a little bit. Are you familiar, for example, with some of the regional numbers that stack up here in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, some of these numbers, they're really difficult to come by from the federal government's statistics, because they come out with such a lag, and they were really designed to measure national employment, not regional employment. Mm-hmm. Some of the more reliable things that I've seen is that if you look at some of the maps as far as the unemployment rate, say, in Wisconsin, you can actually see how it is that areas like Dane County, Waukesha County, they have even Outagamie County, have fared pretty well just with this most recent data release as far as the number of jobs that were being created. Where didn't they fare quite as well? Well, the Milwaukee County, they didn't fare quite as well. And then a lot of the areas, especially if you get into some of north of Green Bay, a lot of those counties didn't necessarily do quite as well. So there is a lot of geographical diversity. You know, you can have one area, Dane County and Waukesha County, doing very well, but you can have other counties that have very high levels of unemployment yet.
And are these differences specific to those areas? Is it in a sense impossible for Milwaukee County to look at Waukesha County and mimic what they're doing with their economy, or not?
That's always the thing that when it comes to some of the city politics or county politics, as far as, you know, policies that are in place in one area, do they necessarily work or translate into another? And I think that's where you have to kind of step back and look at the basic principles as far as how is it that you can create an environment that's more conducive to economic growth. Each area is probably going to have a different approach to that. If you have, let's say, Milwaukee, which is has a much higher population density, you're going to have different solutions for that area than you would say for if we go up to Oneida County. You know, and just to give you an idea, if we're looking at Oneida, their unemployment rate is about 10.2%, whereas in Milwaukee, it's closer to 7.9%. So because of population density and some of the natural features as far as what are the typical employers there, what's your existing base upon which you can build? Obviously, Milwaukee has a little bit more diverse population, not only in terms of demographics, but also diverse in terms of employment opportunities. You have very large manufacturers. You have also some of the service providers, where in some counties they might rely a little bit more upon, like, let's say, natural resources and mining. So they're going to have very different approaches to how to deal with some of these issues.
Let's take another call from Jim in Rhinelander. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Two comments. First one, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but did the fact that probably a lot of people are no longer collecting unemployment, or they can't, you know, does that, do you take that in consideration when you figure out unemployment? And the second one, I really like to make this point, and the fact is that businesses don't create jobs on their own. It's really consumers that create jobs. So, I mean, I think we need to stress that more, that a business doesn't create a job if there aren't consumers, you know, wanting to buy a product. And what I'm getting at is when people aren't working or are making a living wage, you're not going to be doing hiring, or, you know, the economy's not going to be doing well.
Okay. Brian Jacobson.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. It takes both. You know, it takes two to tango. It takes a consumer, and it also takes a business. So you absolutely need that interaction. So, I mean, that's a very valid point, and we shouldn't denigrate either one, either side of that equation, the fact that it takes an employer to create to have an employee, but it also takes a consumer to create the demand for the product. You have to look at both. As far as the unemployment insurance benefits. In order to collect unemployment insurance, you do have to be looking for a job, and so those people would be considered unemployed. But there are other people besides those who collect unemployment insurance who would also be counted as unemployed. For those individuals who lose their benefits, maybe they've exhausted the benefits. It all depends upon what do they do. Do they continue to look for a job, or do they give up? If they give up looking for a job, even though, you know, not much has changed, they are no longer counted as unemployed. They are outside of the labor force. And again, that highlights, I think, one of the shortcomings of looking at the unemployment rate as one of those statistics, because it does depend upon the individual looking for a job within that within the last 4 weeks. There are alternative measures of unemployment. I mean, there's actually a huge menu of them. You can look at what some people refer to as the U6 unemployment rate. It's just a broader definition which encourages or which includes those people perhaps who were collecting unemployment insurance and stopped looking for work after they exhausted their benefits. And for that measure of unemployment, that is significantly higher because it's including more people. It's expanding that net as far as who it is that's included as being unemployed or not. And that is still elevated relative to historical standards.
Well, you've outlined some of the pitfalls here in the relying on the statistics and measurements for unemployment numbers. Nevertheless, that number is often tossed about in political races, and it certainly was a deciding factor in recent elections. Do you think the economy is going to be a deciding factor in this fall's gubernatorial election?
Typically, the economy is a deciding factor. For a lot of times when economists and political scientists look at forecasting elections, economic variables always enter in as far as a key determinant. So I think that the economy is definitely going to play an important role. And so usually what happens is if you see an improving unemployment rate, that is the unemployment rate dropping, that tends to be very good for whoever the incumbent is or the incumbent party. So in this case, if we continue to see improvements in the unemployment rate, that would probably bode fairly well for Governor Walker. If Governor Walker wasn't running for re-election, it would bode pretty well for the Republican Party because, rational or not, individual voters tend to associate an improving economy. They tend to give credit for that to whoever the incumbent is. But at the same time, a worsening economy, they tend to blame the incumbent. So, you know, it's kind of it's a double-edged sword.
Mm. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We've been speaking with Brian Jacobson. He's Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Job numbers out today say that the unemployment rate in Wisconsin is 5.9%, the first time below 6% since November 2008.